are you doing, man?
Hey, Kevin. Good. Good to
So
talk with you again.
what do you want to talk about today?
Well, one of our themes, if you will, our underlying theme is what you learn learning music, right? And it's about life lessons that music teaches you. And so one of those is cooperation. And maybe even to take it a step further, collaboration. If I might, just a quick look back on when I was doing this, when I was playing music full time, I spent about half that career playing alone, as a singer, backing myself with a guitar and then later piano. And then about half the time with groups, from duos all the way up to the six-piece jazz funk band that I spent the last few years, my last few years in New Orleans heading up. No question about it that life with other musicians on stage is much more enjoyable and fulfilling than life alone. As a pianist, I guess I know you do solo stuff every once in a while, but I
I
mean, the
do.
vast majority of your work is with other people, with other jazz musicians.
You know, it's funny. My back never hurts when I play piano, even though my piano teachers have told me my life, my posture, that I was going to pay for it. But it doesn't hurt when I'm playing the piano, except when I'm playing solo piano. And I think it's psychosomatic, like I just miss the other musicians so much. But the real thing is that, when you're playing by yourself, you're pretty much responsible for everything. I don't mean just the rendering the bass parts and the rhythms and the melodies and all that stuff, but it's also like all of the ideas, all the inspiration for what you're doing is from you or your inner sources, versus when you play with other musicians. It's like having a great conversation. It wouldn't be much fun to throw a birthday party for yourself with just you. I just brought in an old musician friend of mine to do some work with me. He's one of the world's greatest drummers, a guy named Willie Jones III. And we had not played together in long enough that we couldn't figure it out. We had met probably in the late 90s, but it was so great to have a different musician to play shows with. And all the songs I play, some I did, some that I played with other people, just having him there made the songs come out completely differently in a great way,
Well, I guess that's that collaborative part, especially when you're talking about jazz. And as we've discussed in the past, everybody is improvising to a certain extent while playing together. They're also playing as themselves, and so I would think that necessarily every time you play with different musicians, the songs come out.
Well, the musicians I preferred working with more than others, although every gig is, you're lucky to do it. But some of the best people I've collaborated with without even discussing it, they would put places in the music for each person in the band to provide their stuff. Or they would, you could tell you're hired because they knew what you're good at, and they wanted that in a place. My friend Marcus Pernup, he would write songs, and there'd be like eight measures, and he'd say instead of writing down the names of chords, he would just put above the music, he says, "Play some Kevin chords." It was empowering, and I always like. Duke Ellington's approach, which is, he even when he composed, he wrote for each person in the band. he was always trying to write things that they loved to do and that they were good at. So that each person really felt like they owned each of their parts and they were important to the band. It's the collaboration just seems to create better stuff. When I did my Fred Rogers project back in, again, 2019, maybe 18, I hired musicians that I knew, one, worked great together and that would be into this concept of doing the music of Mr. Rogers. And it was cool. When we did the recording session, the way I did it was I wrote out outlines of the song, like the idea of how the song would work, maybe the basic harmony. But then when we went into the studio, rather than me telling everyone, I want you to play this, I want you to play that, I would say, all right, here's the general idea of this song. And it's going to be over this kind of groove. Could you, Billy, how about you make up a bass line? And he would make up something, and then Marlon would come up with something. And they'd mess around with it for a few minutes, and they would reject it. Then they'd try something else. And we all knew when they hit on something that felt right. And then we built the song from that. And we did that with all of them. I think we recorded 10 songs. And all but one of them ended up being first takes. We had scheduled 3 days to do this thing. And we finished it the first day. Because of the collaboration, it just... First of all, each of them were then playing stuff that they were really good at already and they loved to do. So there's just so much joy in that. You know, my idea behind that was kind of philosophical or tongue-in-cheek, like to do it like a neighborhood, like on the Fred Rogers shows when he would go to the music store and they'd walk in the back room and the musicians there would be jamming out. Kind of that feeling to it.
Yeah, you know, I think it a little different angle on this. The playing that I've done in recent years, I've done primarily with the same two musicians, Kevin Smith on bass and Matt Miller on sax.
Yeah, they're both fabulous musicians. Yeah.
Great musicians, wonderful people, even better people than they are great musicians.
Which says a lot because they're great musicians. Yeah.
Yeah. At any rate, what we have been able to do over time, or I guess what they have enabled me to do over time, is get really comfortable with these tunes that we play. And so that, I mean, it's like that you mentioned conversation. It's like the conversation gets better and better, and it's more personal because we get to know each other musically. As we get to know each other personally better, we also get to know each other musically better. And therefore, from that perspective, working with the same people, the songs are different, you know, are played similarly but different. But they get better and better.
Yeah, I mean, I know other people who do it the other way, where they create everything themselves. But I really enjoy working projects, you know, with other people. One of my favorite things to do, I get hired to do this a lot, is to work with someone, a songwriter. And we'll work on the songs together. But I'm not writing the song. It's something about having another person or two present. So when someone hires me to help them with their songwriting, my goal isn't to like express my identity or ideas, but to be like a coach or a second set of ears that we can go through the songs and find things. And they'll have an idea, but they don't know what they're, I'll say, well, how about this? Does this sound right? They'll say, no. How about this? Does that sound right? They say no. And finally they'll go, that's it. I did a lot of that with Renee Marie, to be clear. She composed the songs. It's just the collaborative part. And there's another singer here in Atlanta who's fabulous, Carla Harris. I'm real proud that I got to help her realize these songs she was writing. But I didn't put my name on the songs. I didn't write the songs she did. But there's something about working on it together. One, I don't have to worry if my ideas are good, right? She'll say yes or no. But she also, you know, it's less pressure. It's just easier to do as a team. And so anyways, I really enjoy reading about, you know, the Broadway composers and their partnerships with lyricists, like Richard Rodgers and Lorenzo Hart, or George and Ira Gershwin, or Elton John and
Bernie Taupin.
Bernie Taupin, yeah. You know, and I've read some firsthand accounts of them writing in some interviews, but, you know, the general thing is always like one of them would really want this number of syllables, but the guy in charge of the melody only wants one note, and then they negotiate that. And sometimes the songs become so much better. There's a song by George Gershwin called Someone to Watch Over Me. It's one of his most popular songs. It's slow, it's a ballad normally, but when he first wrote it, it was this fast, jumpy, happy song with little rhythm hits in it. Very like 1920s jazz age, you know. Little clap, but it was kind of goofy. And they kept trying to put in the songs. George knew he liked it, but once they played it, he hated it. And they ended up using it as a scene change ditty. Like when the scenes were changing, the orchestra would play this silly little melody. And Ira was the one who says, had that sudden stroke of an idea to slow the melody down. And when you understand like the rhythm of it, because it doesn't even start, it starts after the first measure, the melody, which fits the other rhythm thing. But when you put it slow and with the lyrics that he wrote, it's a completely different song. And George by himself may have never had that idea.
Yeah. What a great idea.
Oh, yeah.
What a fabulous song. You know, from a collaboration while you're playing perspective, as a teacher, is that something that you work on, especially with your university students, that idea? I would assume that that's something that a young musician sort of learns along the way, gets better at listening to others as they're playing to be able to collaborate more successfully.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely teachable. And it's important. It's craft. It's a skill. It's funny how much of what we do musically is not about being perfect. And this is not even a genre issue. I love these stories about a great classical pianist playing and he plays a wrong note, like Horowitz or, you know, something like this. And he just repeats the phrase and comes back and plays the correct note in a way that almost sounds like it was written that way. Like they part of what they're doing is hiding mistakes or making the mistakes musical. And you know, one thing that I'll teach an ensemble of young musicians is how to deal with what they think are mistakes. Mm-hmm. I remember when I first started teaching, my daughter had started doing gymnastics. She was 4, right? And after I would finish, my wife would drop her off, and then I would pick her up. I remember she'd only been doing it a week, like maybe 3 meetings. And I walk in this room, and there's these 3 and 4-year-olds all doing perfect somersaults all over the mat. Like, it's amazing they learned to do that. And I asked the teacher, you know, just curiously, how'd you teach them to do that so fast? She said, do what, fall? I said, no, somersaults. She said, oh, they're not doing somersaults. We teach them to, like, the first thing is that when they fall, not to try to stop themselves with their hands, because that's how they get hurt. So if they fall, they just tuck and roll. It was really, I use that story when I'm teaching, you know, so I'll get the, I'll, when they're, the band's playing, I'll I'll whisper in someone's ear while they're playing to do something wrong or different. And then the others have to adapt to it, you know. I'll often, we'll have one song, well, you know, a group of songs we're doing, but for each rehearsal, I say, okay, today the piano player makes up the introduction. And you guys have to cooperate with it. And the next day I say, okay, the drummer is going to do it, but only on the bass drum. Ridiculous things. Uh-huh. But the idea is for them to work together. And, you know, when I'm playing on stage with great musicians, things go wrong all the time. And no one will ever know.
Yeah.
And sometimes those mistakes are like some of the most rewarding music comes out of it. I remember when I was in college, we had a guest artist who I admired so much, Branford Marcellus. And I got asked to play piano for the master class. And of course, I'm terrified. Here's one of my idols. And I got a little piano solo in it. And I built up a little phrase, and then I went to hit this low note on the piano in octaves. And I missed it by a half step. It's at the crucial moment, I played it very loud and with confidence, but it was exactly the worst note. And inside, I've just panicked. And I just stayed on the note and played a bunch of other stuff, and then fixed it later. I'm embarrassed. Branford, only compliment he ever gave me, which was good enough, but he pointed it out to the class, like what a great risk taker I was, and he loved how I had played this surprising note instead of the obvious one. And a more mature Kevin would have said, no, that was a mistake. But no, I just lived with it. That's something clever.
You know, we used to say, if you make a mistake, play it again. Then it sounds like you intended it.
Yeah. But, you know, in that story, what made that note sound good wasn't just me. It's the band cooperated with it. I like these recordings of... I kind of collect them, famous musicians making mistakes on actually released albums and then hearing how they work together to fix it. And some of these mistakes, you have to be like a student of music, like listening to the recording and trying to understand how they chose what notes to play and when they're going to do something, you know. And these are mostly live recordings, you know, and you get to where you can hear how they're helping each other when things go awry, and they uh-huh. fix it. And then the really best musicians, they release that instead of something better, because it's so alive, the sound of cooperation among all those people. And it's definitely, this is something that's helped me with music, because it's being a jazz musician, because before I started playing music, I was a computer programmer. And when you program, you know, I was in charge of everything I wrote, all the music, everything, either it worked or it didn't. It was hard work. And then every now and then you'd have to work on a program with someone else. And that was difficult. Maybe they would want to do it this way or do it that way. And it was difficult because I was young and stubborn. I wanted to write this program this way. And through music, you know, learning that by cooperating with other people that I play better. I mean, it's helped me with other things in life so much. If someone asked me, like, one of the main things that music has done for me, it's really taught me people skills.
You know? Yeah, well, you know.
Kevin, computer programmer, did not have very good people skills. Some may question where I am now. They just didn't know me back then. I'm working on it, you know.
Well, I would think that if you took the general population of computer programmers, they'd probably be pretty individualistic type of folks.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that's changed over the years, because programs are written by gigantic teams of people now.
Yeah.
It's funny, you know, during the 70s when IBM was hiring, when they were kind of at their real height of fame and success, they hired a company to help them research how to improve their hiring practices, how they could get better employees with less effort and time, you know? And one of the things they came up with, this big research firm, was that when they hire programmers, they should hire people with music degrees, which was fascinating. Now this is, you know, computer education was still kind of new in academia, but this idea that for a computer programmer, you got to hire a musician. The first time I read that, I understood it completely.
Yeah.
There's the math that's involved, the music, the logic, the structure, the creation of it. But as I've gotten older, I realize it's also about the ability to work as part of a team, you know?
Yeah, I think to translate that again back to our theme about what playing music, learning music teaches you, obviously collaboration is, cooperation is a huge part of anybody's life. I mean, certainly if you're going to be married, or if you are married, you certainly understand the importance of that. If you have a family of any size at all, you certainly understand the give and take that's required in that. And again, that's a great lesson that you learn as you learn to play music.
I'm always delighted when I'm working with kind of musicians at the beginning of their studies, you know, new musicians, how surprised, excited they are at how much easier music is when you let other people help you with it. I don't mean teaching, I mean while you're playing, you know, and then they discover that great joy of it. I mean, music is fun because of all the other people you're working with.